Welcome to Clout with Richard Green.
Well, you never really think that a president's going to get a gift at the end of his first 100 days, but this is perhaps the most profound, the most meaningful, the most politically significant gift that a president could ever get. Do you realize the importance of this? Unbelievable. So we're not going to have Obama watch tonight. We're going to have Spectre watch. And at the end of this first hour, we're going to play the full 4 minutes or whatever of Arlen Specter's announcement that rocked Washington, D.C. and the Republican Party. And you know what? It is about time that these people who hate their grandchildren, remember that is the definition of the Republican Party, is, you know, people who hate their grandchildren because they have stood in the way of anything and everything that has allowed or would allow this country to move forward and evolve and move into a sustainable relationship with the earth and other countries. We're going to be talking to Mark Levin, not Mark Levin, Mark Levin. He is a radio show host based in D.C., and he will give us some insights into that. But first, I know you're all, as I'm preparing to potentially meet Rush Limbaugh tonight at the Milken Conference in just a little bit, I know you're all concerned about how I survived, or if I survived, my encounter, my close encounter with the devil, with the satanic presence that is called Alberto Gonzalez. Sure enough, met him, shook his hand, had an opportunity to take a picture with him, and I said, you know what, don't even want that. Don't want it out there. I think it would destroy my career. And I was thinking just perversely, what a fun thing to post that up on my website on airamerica.com/clout. But it was too scary. It was too heart of darkness. It was too cold. I, like George W., who looked into Putin's eyes, right, and saw his soul. I saw Alberto Gonzalez's soul from right there. We spoke for five minutes. I'll tell you what we spoke about in a second. You look into this guy's eyes, and there's nothing there. There's nothing there. The eyes are, in fact, the windows of the soul. This guy is steely, cold darkness. Gives everybody the creeps. I was there with John Quinlan, who's the general manager of KTLK out here in Los Angeles, and we both agreed. Now, John Ashcroft, on the other hand, is actually, he's just a buffoon. He's a charming, somewhat witty and intelligent and humorous buffoon. He was actually kind of funny during the speech last night. But Gonzalez, all he kept saying is, I stand by my testimony. And Dan Abrams from MSNBC, used to be with MSNBC, kept going at him and he goes, you know, I stand by my testimony. I don't think I should comment on that. So the question that I asked Alberto Gonzalez, you know, instead of, you know, why is it that you are so satanic? How is it that you could just lie through your teeth? You know, it was a social setting and the press was not allowed to be there. So I had to kind of take off my journalist hat a little bit. And I was only there because of the association with KTLK, which was one of the sponsors of the event. So I decided to just have an intellectual discussion and just see where this guy went. He said, and Mark Levin will, I'm sure, want to comment on this. He said during the interview in front of, you know, thousands of people that the attorney general has as his client the president of the United States. And it's just not true. And Dan Abrams was saying, but that's not true. I mean, that's essentially the role, not essentially, it's completely the role of the White House counsel. The client for the attorney general is the 300 plus million people of the United States of America. The client is the Constitution of the United States of America. And the president, there's a special relationship, but he's not a client. And so Dan Abrams didn't pick up on it. And I said, Mr. Attorney General, or actually he was being called Judge Gonzalez. I said, I have a question for you. I'm a lawyer, you're a lawyer. And he had talked about prosecuting child pornography, that all of his focus on pornography was mainly because of child pornography. And I said, well, okay, so that's a big issue for you. If you were able to verify when you were Attorney General of the United States that George W. Bush, while he's still president, was trafficking in child porn, What would you do as Attorney General? He said, well, I would have to prosecute him. I said, but what attorney prosecutes their own client? That's checkmate. That proves that it's not that kind of a relationship. Well, it's a very sophisticated, complicated relationship when you're Attorney General. You wear two hats. So let me bring in Mark Levine. Mark is a radio show host out of D.C. and a true Washington, D.C. insider guru. Mark, welcome to the show. Big day today.
A very big day. And I have to say, your legal analysis about the Attorney General is absolutely correct. There is a White House counsel. It is their job to protect the president's person, but the Attorney General's job is to protect the United States. It's kind of like the counsel for a corporation in the law. The corporation's CEO may hire the guy, but when he sees the CEO cheating the corporation, the lawyer for the corporation has to defend the corporation. It's exactly the same, only on a much larger and more important scale with the Attorney General of the United States. You were exactly right.
Well, tell that to Alberto Gonzalez, because even though he was supposedly the attorney general appointed by a president who had never been elected, he doesn't get it. So it was kind of fun.
He never got it. That's why the president called him Fredo. I mean, presidents have tried to make the attorney generals their pets for a very long time. Recall Nixon and the Saturday Night Massacre when Elliot Richardson refused to do what he wanted to do, which was call off the Watergate special prosecutor. And so he quit, and the deputy attorney general quit, and finally Robert Bork said, all right, president, I'll do whatever you say. I don't care what the law is. But so it's true that the president can fire the attorney general, but if he does, and the attorney general is trying to protect the country against the president, it becomes very much out in the open for everyone to see. And many people think the Saturday Night Massacre is one of the reasons why Richard Nixon got articles of impeachment against him in the House Judiciary Committee.
Yeah. Well, it was really fun for me to be, in essence, lecturing the former attorney general on what the law is and what his job was. Anyway.
Yeah, well, I don't think he ever got that.
I called him last night, and I really think it fits. I said Ashcroft is just a Christian right-wing buffoon, but Gonzalez is a gangster.
Well, the difference between John Ashcroft and Alberto Gonzalez is, while I strongly disagree with many decisions that John Ashcroft made, John Ashcroft did understand his role. He did understand his role as Attorney General. Alberto Gonzalez was merely a presidential flunky. I mean, he would do whatever George Bush said, jump how high. He never, ever understood his role. Right. And that's the difference between them.
Well, and because I think he's a mafiosa kind of gangster guy, and that's just who he is.
Or he's just stupid.
You know what? He's not stupid. He's actually...
You don't think so?
No, I think he's really, really smart. You know why? Because you have to be really, really smart to come up with the BS that he comes up with to justify. Just like Scalia. You and I probably don't agree with anything that Antonin Scalia talks about in his judicial opinions, but the guy is so clever, he actually can kind of sell it to at least some of the other members on the court.
I'll agree with you that Justice Scalia is clever and evil. Gonzalez never struck me as a particularly bright mind. He struck me as someone who said, yes, sir, boss, and did whatever the mafioso boss wanted him to do. I just never thought of him as much of an intellect. I'll agree with you about Scalia.
Right, but he never tripped up. In other words, he was carrying so much dirty, toxic, illegal water for the president of the United States for several years, and he never completely tripped up.
Well, I think he tripped up, Richard. I mean, he before Bush's term was up, Alberto Gonzalez had to quit. I mean, that doesn't happen very much in the Bush administration.
Well, no,
he was forced out of office.
Well, but it wasn't because of something that he mistakenly said, because he's not clever enough to cover his tracks. It's because at some point the quantity of lies and corruption it became clear to even the conservative Democrats. So,
well, that's true.
Anyway, enough with the past. Overall, give me your overall sense of the import of this day that Arlen Specter finally did what he probably should have done years ago.
I think it's both bigger and smaller than people have said. I think that those that cheer, it's a new day, it's 60 votes, we're going to get anything through we want to do, those people are naive. But those people that say it doesn't matter, it's the same Arlen Specter, he's going to vote the same way he did before, nothing changes, well, they're wrong too. As usual,
okay.
I give nuance.
Well, good. Let's take a break. And I appreciated the nuance I didn't mention before, which makes your comments and your acknowledgement of my correctness so much more important. You were a counsel on the Judiciary Committee, and you've been playing a real key role behind the scenes in Washington for a long time. We're talking to Mark Levine, and we will come back. This is Richard Green, Hollywood Clout, on a very, I think, a very important day, and we'll find out if Mark and I agree on the actual overall import of that. On Air America, happy to have you join us. If you have any comments on John Ashcroft or Alberto Gonzalez or Arlen Specter, 866-303-2270, 866-303-2270. We'll be right back.
This is Do Something Radio.
It's Clout with Richard Green.
Okay, so I am going to be dining with Rush Limbaugh. Yes, Rush Limbaugh tonight, and Harold Ford and Frank Luntz at this Milken Institute Global Conference. It's quite an amazing thing. So if you have any thoughts on a question, if I have a chance to ask a question to Rush Limbaugh, what I should ask, send me an email, rgreen with an E on the end, at airamerica.com. Mark, I want your opinion on that. What should I, if I have a chance to talk to Rush Limbaugh, what should I ask him?
I'd see if there's any sulfur residue when he gets up.
I don't think he's quite as evil as Alberto Gonzalez or Dick Cheney. I think
they're very different. Rush Limbaugh is a performance artist. He will say or do whatever he can do to be outrageous and make money that way. Alberto Gonzalez is a mafia hitman. He will do whatever he needs to do to satisfy his boss. Neither are thinkers. They're not actors in the sense that Dick Cheney or Antonin Scalia are you know, intellectuals who are complicatedly making evil decisions. They both have roles to play.
Mm. Okay. Tom Hartman actually thinks that Rush Limbaugh is brilliant. He goes, Tom Hartman said to me, you know, Rush is as smart as I am. And I said, no way. There's no way. Anyway.
He's a brilliant jester.
He's exactly. He's a performance artist.
He's a performer. He's very good at his performance.
Right, but he's not smart. I mean, no one's as smart as Tom Hartman. Anyway, and very few, in my opinion, and very few as smart as Mark Levine. Mark Levine has a radio show, marklevineradio.com or radioinsidescoop.com, if you prefer that. He worked on the Judiciary Committee, Homeland Security Committee, worked for Barney Frank. Inside politics, big-time guy. Mark, you made a statement. You said it's not as little as it could be, and it's not as big as it could be. Why don't you review that?
Certainly. The number of people are saying, aha, we now have 60 votes. Assuming Al Franken finally prevails in the legal matters, of course, he's won Minnesota by 321 votes. Everyone thinks he will prevail. The only question is how long can Coleman draw it out? So everyone counts to 60 and says, aha, that makes 60. Obama can do anything he wants. The Democrats can do anything they want. We win. Well, it's not that simple. The party change actually is far more important to get to 50 than to get to 60. When Jim Jeffords changed his party back in 01, that was a titanic shift. Because the most important thing that you do as a Republican or Democrat is you decide who the leadership is in the House or the Senate. And Jeffords tipped the thing from 50-50, which gave Dick Cheney, the vice president, control of the Republicans, to 51-49 for the Democrats. That was a titanic shift. It changed everything. It changed what went on the agenda. That was really important. 60 is a lot more amorphous because 60 is not one vote. 60 is several votes. And it's, of course, the magic number used to invoke cloture to get rid of a filibuster. And Arlen Specter has said that he's not going to change his votes. He said he's going to vote exactly the same way he would have had he remained a Republican. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not, but if it is true, then there should be no legal difference. Zero, zilch, no change between the way it was before and the way it is now, if he's telling the truth. Because His vote is the same. If he filibusters the exact same, it doesn't matter that he gives the 60th vote to vote for Harry Reid instead of Mitch McConnell as leader of the Senate. They only need 50, you know, votes. So if he votes the exact same way, there's no change. So that's the bad news. The good news is that I don't believe Arlen Specter. I don't think he will vote the same way. And I think that he understands that if he acts like a Republican, that he's going to have a Democratic challenger in his primary. So Democrats in Pennsylvania are going to be watching his record very closely. They're going to see if he acts like a Democrat. Because the one thing the Democrats in Pennsylvania don't want is they had a sure Democrat going into the 2010 election. Pat Toomey, the right-wing Republican, was going to beat Arlen Specter in the primary. Everyone knows that. But then the Democrat would have beaten Toomey, and we would have gotten a real Democrat. Not a Democrat in name only, not a Lieberman Democrat, a real Democrat. So the Democrats are going to be watching Specter very carefully. And he's going to feel a lot of pressure from President Obama, who he's going to want to campaign for him, from his fellow senator in Pennsylvania, Casey, who he's going to want to campaign for him, from the governor, Ed Rendell, he's going to want to campaign for him. He's going to feel a lot of pressure to act like a Democrat. So if Arlen Specter is telling the truth, this isn't a day for celebration. It's the same old, same old. But I don't think he is.
Wow. Boy, there it is. Nothing more to say. I think you're absolutely right, and I come out on the conclusion that I think you're coming out on, which is Arlen Specter can say whatever he wants to say. He's not being welcomed into the caucus if he's just going to be a Republican, and he certainly is not going to win the Democratic primary in Pennsylvania if he votes and acts like a Republican. So if he really does want to continue to serve in the Senate, his only option is to actually be a Democrat. So what do you guys think?
Now, there are levels of being a Democrat.
Well,
We have Ben Nelson, for example.
Nelson,
he's the most conservative one in the caucus. He's actually more conservative than Joe Lieberman, but he's from Nebraska. Every Democrat understands that that's the best we can get out of Nebraska.
Right.
The reason why Lieberman was challenged is because we thought we could do better out of Connecticut. Pennsylvania is what I would call an indigo state. It's not quite purple and not quite blue.
Well, Mark, we got to take a break. We'll come back and continue this discussion. We're talking to Mark Levine, marklevineradio.com. About Arlen Specter, what do you think? 866-303-2270. This is Richard Green. This is Hollywood Clout. This is Air America. We'll be right back.
Get it, keep it, use it.
Clout with Richard Green.
Okay, we're talking Arlen Specter and the transformation of the American political landscape that happened today, a birthday present, a 100-day present for President Barack Obama. My guest here is a guy who has his own radio show, and he's just a super knowledgeable guy on anything inside politics. His name is Mark Levine, not Mark Levin, who is a certifiable moron. This guy is the opposite of that. They're both lawyers. They both have radio shows. But marklevineradio.com or radioinsidescoop.com, he served on the Judiciary Committee as a counsel, Homeland Security Committee, worked for Barney Frank. And we're talking about the impact of Arlen Specter's mutiny of the Republican Party. Mark, you had some more thoughts on that. Let's start with that, and then we'll drill down.
Well, I think, Richard, you hit it on the head when you talked about it as a birthday present for President Obama on his 100th day. The symbolism of this is even more powerful than the actual reality of it. The idea that we've reached the magic number 60, which Democrats haven't reached since the days of Jimmy Carter, at a time when we had an entirely different Democratic Party filled with Southerners who, many of them, were conservative and opposed to liberal ideas. This is a high watermark. This is a recognition of how far the Democratic Party has come. This is a recognition that we are in charge, that we are governing. And that symbolism is very powerful, and it lets people know, lets Republicans know, that they shouldn't stand in the way of where the majority of the American people want to go, at least technically their filibusters are not supposed to work. So, again, the symbolism is very important. The reality is, if Arlen Specter votes the exact same way as he promised to do, for example, on the Employee Free Choice Act, then we're no better off than we were to begin with. But I think that powerful symbolism, the fact that he's going to caucus with the Democrats, he's going to be talking with them day in and day out instead of with the Republicans day in and day out, I think that's a bit infectious. There's a reason why most people vote with their party. And Alan Spector was a 62-63% Republican. That doesn't mean he was an 80 or 90%er, but it does mean he was majority voting with Republicans. If he doesn't at least vote 62-63% with the Democrats, a lot of people in Pennsylvania are going to say, well, wait a minute, what's the point of having Alan Spector? We'd rather have a real Democrat instead.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. And tell us from inside the Beltway, what kind of power does Harry Reid have over Arlen Specter now that he's a Democrat and caucusing with the Democrats that he didn't have, given, you know, regardless of his moderate political views, that he didn't have when he was having to pay attention to Mitch McConnell?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, senators are notoriously independent people, and they don't like to be corralled. The real party, the real power that Harry Reid has is over committee assignments. Now, Harry Reid has promised Arlen Specter that he'd be treated as if he'd been a Democrat all this time. He has seniority dating back to 1980. If he were a junior senator, he could be, you know, some junior member of a committee. But having that kind of seniority for 30 years, he should be chairman of a committee. So then the question is, well, who do you bounce? Because there's a lot of people who don't want to be bounced. What committee he gets is entirely Harry Reid's purview, with, you know, the advice and consent of the other Democratic senators. And if Arlen Specter starts acting more like a Republican than a Democrat, he might just be bounced off an important committee and put in charge of a far lesser committee.
Got it. Got it. Well, that's going to be interesting to watch that all play out. And then ultimately, it all goes back to what's going to happen in Pennsylvania. And when you said what you said, it was like, yes, you're absolutely right on. Had he stayed a Republican, certainty he would have been beaten in the primary, and certainty we would have a real Democrat. So in a way, it's good for right now, but it would be better in 2 years.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, some Democrats are saying, now, wait a minute, it is better for the next 2 years, but come 2010, we could have had a better Democrat. And I guess that's partly true, but not as true as you might think, because, as I said, Pennsylvania is an indigo state. It's between purple and blue. It is not a pure blue state. It is certainly not Massachusetts. It is a state that, you may recall, John McCain thought he had a chance at winning. It is more blue than red. That's why I called it indigo. But it's definitely not true blue. And it's the other senator, Bob Casey, is someone, for example, who's against abortion rights. He is pro-life. So there is a conservative streak in Pennsylvania. In fact, people in Pennsylvania like to say that it's Philadelphia on one side, Pittsburgh on the other, and Alabama in the middle. Central Pennsylvania is actually extremely conservative. So we would get, I think, marginally better Democrat. But if we can push Arlen Specter just a little bit, I don't think we're going to get him to be a 90% Democrat. But if he could be a 65% Democrat instead of a 65% Republican, that, you know, that's movement. That's taking half his votes and putting it in the Democratic column. What's interesting is what he's going to get out of it. He says he has promises by President Obama, by the governor, who's a Democrat, Rendell of Pennsylvania, by his co-senator, that they're going to be on his side. And it'll be interesting to see if the Netroots decide to go after him the same way the Republicans were going after him. You know, everyone attacks the middle, and if they do what they did to Joe Lieberman, we may just find Arlen Specter a pure independent, neither Republican nor Democrat.
Now, how much of Arlen Specter's decision do you think was based on the massive mountains of crap that he got for voting for the stimulus package?
Not that much. He claims it was. That's his story. He's sticking to it. I think the real answer is it's politics. I hate to agree with the Republicans on this one, but he was going to lose the primary. He wanted to stay in office. I really think the stimulus package had very little to do with it. You know, on things that really matter, that you break with a party over, abortion, you could say, is one of those things, maybe health care. I just don't think the stimulus package is of that, you know, high a reason. It's just a lot of money. Congress does that all the time.
Is it possible that Ed Rendell would run for Senate?
Well, Ed Rendell was thinking about it. I mean, now he says he won't. But that's why we're all going to be watching Spector's voting record very carefully. If he votes with Obama on energy, if he votes with Obama on health care, remember, he doesn't have to vote for the policy. He simply has to vote to end the filibuster. He has to provide the magic 60. I don't care if he votes against President Obama on health care and on energy. As long as he gets the 60th vote to get past the filibuster, then he's free to vote his conscience. But if he starts filibustering, if he joins with the Republicans time and time and time again, I think Governor Rendell may just change his mind.
You know what? I love this. This is such great political theory. And that is a great point. We're talking to Mark Levine. He is the host of his own radio show, RadioInsideScoop.com. He's an insider on the Hill. So essentially, the conversation that Harry Reid and Arlen Specter could have had is, listen, the only benefit we have for you coming over to this side and us giving you a committee assignment and supporting you and keeping you in the Senate, you know, when you're up for re-election next year, is if you vote against the Mitch McConnell filibuster.
That's right.
Arlen, my friend, I've known you for 30 years, blah, blah, blah. Can I count on you for that?
You can vote against us on health care. You can vote against us on the environment. Just vote to end the filibusters, and you're safe. But if you don't vote to end the filibusters, let's face it, Harry Reid is giving him a present. When you're in the minority, you can't be a committee chairman of any committee. And a committee chairman wields lots of power. We are giving him more power than he had under the Republicans. If he doesn't provide that 60th vote, well, I think our inspector may just have to be of neither party.
Right.
Let's see if Harry Reid is as tough as he's been said to be in quiet. He's never that tough in public, but people say he's tough behind closed doors. Whether or not Arlen Specter toes the line and votes in the filibusters, we'll know how tough Harry Reid is.
Well, I know Harry Reid, and I agree with you. He doesn't look like a tough guy on the outside, but behind, you know, he relishes the behind-the-scenes stuff, and that's why he got to the position that he did. But the truth is, Arlen Specter, as of right now, is only the 59th vote. Okay,
that's true.
But
Al Franken will win.
The question is when.
All the Republicans can do is delay, delay, delay.
No, I understand, but how long can they delay? You're a lawyer, Mark. I mean, what's going to happen? I mean, what does Coleman have up his sleeve? I think he goes to the Minnesota Supreme Court, and then when he loses there, he goes to the U.S. Supreme Court, and we know their record on voting stuff. They're pretty damn political.
Well, I just don't know that they're going to risk everything for a senator. You know, when
they risked everything for a president.
Well, but that's different. I think that in terms of getting a president of the United States who would appoint their successors, in terms of the Supreme Court actually choosing their successors, and getting a coup d'etat for the entire government, they were willing to break the law, break the Constitution. But everyone knows they did it. And if they did it again, I don't think they do it over a senator.
But there's no recourse. What are you going to do? You're going to think that Antonin Scalia is even more of a despicable human being?
I think Justice Kennedy realizes the harm to the nation that was done. Maybe I'm dreaming. Maybe I'm dreaming. But I just happen to think that I can't imagine Justice Kennedy doing it again. There's zero legal basis. Zero. I mean, there was none in Bush v. Gore. There's zero legal basis for even going into federal
Does
court.
That it's, stop Clarence Thomas and Antonin Scalia and the
no.
others? I mean, come on.
No.
You
it
are
won't stop Thomas, Scalia, Roberts, or Alito. It might stop Kennedy.
Okay. Now, what about, here's the other question. What about Susan Collins and Olympia Snowe?
Is there
a possibility? Because then we don't even need Al Franken if they come on over.
They are the last two Republican moderates in the Senate, and Maine is a quirky state. And they have queued to the middle for a very, very long time. In fact, many would argue that they're less conservative than Arlen Specter was, frankly, in a number of their votes. They're fine on a lot of social issues. It's very interesting. Olympia Snowe basically laid out a warning today, reminding Republicans, including particularly the conservatives that were saying, good riddance, we're glad Arlen Specter's gone. She reminded them that she exists. She reminded them that it's a problem in the Republican Party. And even Lindsey Graham, not someone we think of as a moderate Republican at all, also said this is a warning bell to Republicans. You can't play only to the hard right. You can't win elections that way. I don't think it's impossible that Susan Collins, Olympia Snowe would move over. I think it's unlikely, but let's see where the Republican Party goes. And if Rush Limbaugh keeps saying good riddance and they keep being the party of just say no, we could have two more Democrats.
So speaking of El Rushbo, what do I ask him today?
You know, he won't give you a serious answer no matter what. He's not like someone that can be held accountable. He's a buffoon. I don't know. I wouldn't want to sit at the same table with him, Richard. I'm sorry. That's
well, no,
I'm
not sitting. No, there's going to be 800, 900 people at the Beverly Hills, the Beverly Hilton Hotel. It is not likely that he will stay up there afterwards to have me come up and talk to him. But if I do have a chance, I think I'm going to ask him the following question. Some people in the radio business, Mr. Limbaugh, you know, I do a radio national radio show on Air America, and I'm just curious. Some people in the radio business that I know at ABC and various other places have said that you don't always believe 100% of what you talk about. Is that true?
And again, I think he would answer you by insulting you, insulting Air America, insulting liberals, and not giving you a straight answer, except to say what he said in every radio convention I've been to where he's been there, which is that he's an entertainer first. And he'll just sort of say that, which to me gives an implication that, no, he doesn't believe everything he says. But well, I don't think he'll tell it to you straight out. I just don't think he's that kind of person.
Right. But you know that most of communication is in the nonverbals anyway. So that's
true.
That's the fun stuff to watch, the squirming or the inconsistent body language. Okay, Mark Levin, not Mark Levin. By the way, how upsetting is it for you that the number one, the best-selling author, number one on the New York Times bestsellers list, Mark Levin, is a complete moron, and he almost has the same name as you?
You know, I don't understand it. I don't understand why anyone listens to him, but I can tell you this, the people that do follow him are not very smart. And I know this because sometimes they accidentally find me, and they write me, and they'll ask me my position on some question, like immigration. And I'll tell them my real position, you know, a liberal position, and they'll write me back and say, wow, I didn't think you'd have that position. That makes some sense,
yeah.
Which shows that
yeah,
his
they're,
followers
they're sheep.
Just... They just
sheep.
Want to follow leaders. They're not
sheep.
Thinkers.
I think
that's true of most of his audience.
Mark, we got to run. When we come back, you're going to hear the full words, all of it, from Arlen Specter on this day that changed America politically. This is Richard Green, Hollywood Cloud, Air America. Stay tuned. Thanks, Mark.